Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning. Today is the 13th anniversary of 9/11, the terrorist attack that struck the United States back on September 11th, 2001. And we're going to talk to somebody who was once of the Muslim faith and converted to Christianity. Her name is Gidi Hansen. She works for The Growing Place. She is a marriage and family therapist registered intern. And we're going to talk with her about that. Before we do, because I'm curious how somebody, what would somebody who has been a Muslim, when we look at what's happening in the world, you know, now it looks like we're going to be going to war. The president gave a speech yesterday. It looks like we're going to be heading back into the military might is going to be used of the United States to try to handle ISIS and the Islamic terrorists that have beheaded two American journalists and have threatened the United States verbally, and of course has attacked two of our citizens. So we're going to talk to her about that. Real quickly, at 11 o'clock this morning over at Fire Station 5 next to the Elks Lodge, there is going to be a special ceremony 11 o'clock this morning, so in just a couple of hours from now. They have a 9/11 memorial in honor of the 343 firefighters in New York City who were killed on 9/11. And that's going to take place at 11 o'clock this morning. The public is welcome to attend the ceremony of the memorial on behalf of the firefighters and all those who perished 13 years ago today. Gidi Hansen is with us today, and welcome to the show, Gidi.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. You're a Christian now.
Yes.
But you were raised in the Muslim faith.
Yes, I was.
Where did you live, and at what age were you? Tell us about that. Where were you living at the time?
I was born in Tehran, Iran, and when I was 4 months old, my entire family, my parents, my two older brothers, and I moved to America, to New York City, because my dad was offered a job with the Voice of America.
Oh.
And so he's also in broadcasting and journalism. In fact, both my parents were journalists, and my mom was the first female journalist to have her own column in an Iranian newspaper in Iran.
Okay. And so how old were you?
I was 4 months old, and I grew up basically in America. Before I graduated from high school, I had gone back and forth between Iran and America five times. So I grew up in a bicultural environment. And my parents were not practicing Muslims, but they were proselytizing Muslims. They indoctrinated me very strongly, especially my dad, that we honor and we respect Christians. They are people of the book. That's a quote from the Quran. But they are gravely mistaken about Jesus Christ. He's only a prophet. He's not the Son of God. It is blasphemy to call a human being God.
Okay.
So that's how I grew up.
And until what age?
Oh, until I was 28, that's what I believed.
And that's when you converted to Christianity?
Yes.
What changed your mind?
Well, it was Jesus himself. I had graduated from Berkeley.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Just joking. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I love Berkeley.
I do too.
I love Berkeley. They have very inquisitive, seeking minds there. I graduated and I got involved in a New Age cult in Berkeley after my graduation, which purported to be Christian. I didn't know they were a New Age cult until after my conversion. And just as we hear Jesus converting Muslims and Middle Easterners throughout the world, I realized in 1979, he converted me in the same manner. It was a supernatural encounter with the Son of God.
Well, what happened? What could you explain? I don't want to delve into something that's too private, but could you share with what happened?
It's so hard to explain. At that point, because of the New Age business I was involved in, I was having open visions of the most horrendous things. Like I was walking in a waking nightmare. I was hearing voices. I was seeing things, and they were all destructive. They all wanted to destroy me. looking with my marriage and family therapist lens, I had the symptoms of paranoid schizophrenia.
Hmm.
But I knew that I was not mentally insane. I knew that these beings were real, they were spiritual, and they were opposed to God and opposed to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the midst of all of that, when I just felt like I was drowning and I was being overcome, the Lord Jesus revealed himself to me, not in a vision, even though I was having visions, not in a dream, even though I was having dreams, not through a voice, even though I was hearing voices. He just made himself known to me supernaturally, the way St. Teresa of Avila talks about soft wax being imprinted with an imprint of a ring. He impressed upon me his identity, his purpose, his mission, the fact that he is all God and all man. It was almost like he downloaded the Nicene Creed into my entire being.
How did your parents and family deal with this?
My mom congratulated me because it was 1979 and the year of the Iranian Revolution.
Uh-huh.
And
your dad?
And my dad was frightened, and he did not like it, and he tried to talk me out of it, and he told me, you are making yourself a target for every cuckoo Muslim like Khomeini and the rest of them who are out there, who are all killing each other in Iran, and if you're going to believe this, don't tell anybody.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, Dad, I have to do what the Lord Jesus tells me. I'm no longer my own person anymore.
Well, it seems like there's a vengeance. I guess what people have a hard time is understanding, does the Quran, does the teaching say that it is acceptable to kill people who don't agree with your faith of Muslim?
No, not in general. What the Quran stipulates is if a Muslim converts from Islam to any other religion, that Muslim is a blasphemer and a heretic and should be killed.
Wow.
It doesn't say you should go out and kill Jews and Christians and Buddhists, but it does stipulate Muslims must be killed.
So somebody like yourself.
Somebody like myself.
We're talking to Gidi Hansen, a Muslim until she became 28. Since she was 28 years old, she converted to Christianity. Special discussion with her on this 13th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on September 11th. We'll continue our chat after this break.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. Again, there's a special ceremony today at 11 o'clock this morning over at Fire Station 5 in Chico. There's going to be a memorial. Fire Station 5, if you don't know, is the one that's across from Wildwood Park near the Elks Lodge and just off East Avenue. And it's going to start at 11 o'clock. They have a memorial made there. Private donations paid for it, September 11th memorial, to honor the 343 firefighters in New York City who were killed and to commemorate the event. And actually, part of the memorial includes an actual piece of the beams from one of the Twin Towers that came down, an actual piece of it. I've seen it. It's a very, very nice memorial. It's very tastefully done, and there'll be a ceremony this morning at 11 o'clock on the 13th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. Gidi Hansen is a marriage and family therapist, registered intern. She's a regular on our show. She talks about various issues, that ways we can help families better communicate, get along better, couple relationships, relationships with kids, and also, you know, dealing with addictions. If you're a person of faith, and or if you're not, if you wanted to talk to somebody, this is a good way to go, instead of maybe perhaps spending a lot of time and a lot of money going through maybe a psychiatrist or psychologist. Maybe you don't need something that deep and that heavy. But Gidi Hansen is with The Growing Place, and their phone number is 588-0448, 588-0448. Gidi is also a former Muslim who became a Christian back when she was 28 years old. And, of course, I understand it's not right to ask a woman's age, so 28 years old, I don't know how many years ago that
you
was.
You can ask. Yeah. I'm 63 years old, and it was
35 years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I guess people don't have a hard time understanding the whole mentality of what's going on, where we see these gruesome beheadings, and it's just people don't even want to think about it. Now we're talking, you know, with the president giving a speech last night on Wednesday night about maybe going to war again and military action against ISIS. Is it From your perspective, is this justified? Do we need to send military, the United States military, to go and battle these guys? And because you're a person of faith as well, is this the right thing to do? Is this what our Lord and Savior would want us to do, to battle these men?
You know, there are many different positions on that. I personally don't have an opinion on it. If you want to know the truth,
right?
It's not my area of expertise, and I know that I couldn't kill somebody, I think, but I don't think it's immoral to do so in certain circumstances. So I'm not a pacifist, although some Christians are. But I have to use the weapons the Lord has given me.
And that's in what you're saying is the way to combat terrorism, there has to be through love.
Through love.
How can you do that when you and I think it's fair to say, it sounds terrible, but some of the things that are, some people are calling them savages, what's going on there.
Right.
It's frightening. I'm afraid to even say it now. I'm afraid somebody will come in, you know, because this is the mentality
this
that we're
terrorism.
Dealing with. This is terrorism.
This is
You're
terrorism.
Afraid to even call them what they are.
Yeah.
And so what's the best way to combat this?
Well, the battle begins in my own heart.
Uh-huh.
The battle begins in my own mind. Am I going to give into the fear? You know, the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus gave us a command. He said to love. St. John wrote that God is love. And Jesus basically separated our neighbor or the other person into three categories: either a family member, a brother, a neighbor, or an acquaintance, or a friend, or an enemy. And in all three cases, he said, love them.
Mm-hmm.
Love your brother, love your neighbor, love your enemy. And that love is the best weapon. There is nothing that the world, the flesh, or the devil can offer. There is nothing that anybody can do to stop love. So the love begins in my own heart. So the first thing I do is, number one, I don't dehumanize my enemy.
Uh-huh.
I don't call them names. I realize Jesus came to save them just as much as he came to save me. He didn't just come to save Westerners. He didn't just come to save Christians. He came to save the terrorist. And if you think about it, St. Paul was a Jewish terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
Right there in Acts chapter 9, Jesus got a hold of that terrorist and turned him into one of the greatest evangelists and apostles the church has ever known. I have personally shook the hands of former Islamic terrorists who are now Christians, who love Jesus. They were willing to die for a lie. Now they're willing to die for the truth.
I don't understand how somebody makes the leap of faith that somehow is acceptable, and not just a few people, so many people who are involved in this that think this is acceptable to just rape and pillage and kill. I think that's what Americans are having a hard time understanding. That, you know, having two or three crazy men or 10 crazy men like Charles Manson, you know, we could understand that. But what I think what's having a hard time is seeing all these people in these black costumes, going around and creating havoc and chaos. Maybe after the break, maybe you could explain how people get to that point from religion. I'm still having a hard time understanding that. And as a Christian, we would never suggest that that's acceptable. I just don't understand it, and I think a lot of people don't understand it either. We'll finish up our discussion with Dee Dee Hansen, a former Muslim who at the age of 28, 35 years ago, converted to Christianity, and to try to explain what the mentality is, what's going on with this group in ISIS when we come back.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
You know, I went into the break talking about, you know, Christians would never do something like what's going on in the Middle East. You know, we're going to be going to war again now, perhaps, with after President's speech last night. And, of course, today's the 13th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And I just said going into the break, but we would never, as Christians, do something like this. But actually, we kind of, you know, Gita, you were saying, you know, in the break, we kind of set the stage for that before anybody else did as Christians. People in the name of Christ saying that we were, there was a lot of killing in the name of Christ.
Yes, the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition were killing each other. Think of the Reformation, all of the Protestants and the Catholics killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is sin, and we are no better. I mean, we have committed all of the sins, it says in Romans 2, that you want to judge and condemn your brother for having committed, we have committed ourselves.
That's a great point.
So what is it that causes this? I believe it's a demonic delusion. I believe it's the sin nature. I believe it's indoctrination. These people are zealous, and they really believe the lie that they are living out.
And we were overzealous, too.
Yes.
But again, so I guess the question is, as Christians, Gidi, we would say those people do not represent who we are.
Exactly, and that's what Muslims worldwide are saying. These terrorists do not represent who we are or what we believe.
That's what I wanted to find out. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
True. Because there's nothing in the Quran that can justify just going out and killing people because they don't share Islam. Now, it's been used that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's been used that way historically. But it's not supposed to be part of the faith, just like in Christianity. You couldn't justify the Crusades or the Spanish Inquisition or what the Protestants and the Catholics did to each other by the Bible. But right. What did they say? They said, you're a heretic, you're a blasphemer, and I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
That was the justification.
What should I don't think you want to get involved in politics, but what are you understand it more than most people. When you're asked about this, you pretty much give the same message. People probably look at you and say, "What are these people doing?" And your message, how should we handle this? You're not going to say we should go to war, not go to war, kill or don't kill. You're just saying we have to keep praying and loving them.
Exactly.
And that's a hard thing to do.
The battlefield then becomes my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Then the spirit of vengeance that I so condemn in that other party is now showing its ugly face in my heart. And I have to keep giving that up to the Lord and saying, the Lord said, forgive. He hung on a cross and he looked at all of us. And it says in Romans chapter 5 that we were all the enemies of God.
How do you reason with these individuals? I mean, is there a possibility?
Only God, you know, in my viewpoint,
yeah.
I don't have the job of reasoning. I have the job of praying, interceding, and loving.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, people are being converted.
Mm-hmm.
People, I hear stories coming out of the Middle East, Iran, the nation I was born in. There have been thousands and thousands of converts supernaturally in the way that Jesus converted me, because it's illegal to, you know, pass out literature.
Do you think that's what's causing all this increase in violence? Because there's people who
Definitely.
Are Muslim who are saying, look at all these people converting to Christianity.
Definitely.
Boy, we got to put a stop to this.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what Ahmadinejad said. We have to stop Christianity. We have to stamp it out because
uh-huh.
it's taking over. Why? Because ours is the message of love. It's the contrast between
uh-huh.
the light and the dark. Is so evident right now in the world.
And I think people look at this and they say, there are many people, theologians and even not, who say, you know, my wife said to me the other day, she says, gosh, it seems like maybe this is the end of times. This is all happening so fast. And we don't want the end of times yet. We want to convert as many people we can to Christianity before
yes.
it's too late. But
yes.
but we've been hearing that the end of times since dating back to shortly after Jesus died
exactly.
on the cross. People are talking about the end of times.
That's right.
It's going to happen in the next decade, in the next 20 years, it's
yes.
going to happen. And, you know, it's all on God's time, not
Amen.
On our time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But definitely there has been an escalation in our lifetime. There's no doubt about it.
Uh-huh. Do you ever talk to Muslims in this community? You ever go to, because there are Muslim churches here, I believe.
There's a mosque here.
Mosque.
I have not gone to the mosque yet. I have asked God about it. And so far, he's kind of kept me under the radar.
Uh-huh.
And the intercessor, though I have evangelized many, many Muslims, including my own family members. When I meet Muslims, when I meet new people, I don't hide the fact that I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just give you an example of this. Back in the 80s, my brother converted to Christianity, and he was at a dinner party in somebody's house in L.A., and he talked about his newfound faith, and there was a gentleman at that party sitting at the dinner table who said, well, and that means that you should die. You deserve to die because you have converted from Islam. And my brother stood up, and he put his hands out, palms up, and he said, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead. He responded with love. He responded with trusting God with his life.
So he just said, go ahead and kill me if you think that's what I deserve.
Yeah, but he said it gently, not in a provoking way. And the guy backed down. He was so embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to let it be known we're not going to come under the spirit of fear and bullying and terror. Mm-hmm. That's not what God wants. Mm-hmm. He's given us a spirit of love that overcomes everything.
But we understand the hate that we feel, don't we? We're not supposed to, but you see somebody sitting on their knees about to lose their head, you understand the feeling of hatred.
You do, and you just got infected by the person who's chopping off that guy's head.
But God hates sin.
God, that's God's job. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay.
Mm-hmm.
He says that in the Old Testament. He's quoted in the New Testament by the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
So do I believe that I don't have the right to defend myself? No, absolutely I have the right to defend myself. Am I saying armies are wrong? No, I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But carrying around hatred in my heart for a whole people group I've never met just because of what some people are doing or even hating those people who are doing the beheadings, my Lord says no.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need that same spirit. Is it something I can come by naturally? Absolutely not. It's supernatural.
What an interesting discussion. Gidi Hansen, a former Muslim who 35 years ago converted to Christianity and is trying to make a difference and perhaps bring more people to Christ. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Gidi's going to be a regular guest with us talking about relationships in our lives with our loved ones and maybe addictions that we have. She's a marriage and family therapist, registered intern over at The Growing Place, and her phone number is 588-0448. Have a good day, everybody.